"Hello, everybody," he says while trying to fight back a sneeze and wondering if it's safe to talk. "And welcome to a Total Italian Football Summer Bonus Podcast, where we don't really know what we're going to talk about. We've got some idea about what we're going to talk about because things have happened. We have a full house. I'm Conor Clancy. I've got Ewan Burns with me. Hello, Ewan."
"Hello. How are you?"
Confused, but we're okay and we'll get through. How are you?"
"Yeah, I'd say largely the same."
It's always a good sign when you ask someone how they are and their response is, "Yeah," isn't it? Also got Kev Pogrzewski with us. Kev, you look happy.
"Yeah, I'm good. I was just laughing at the full house and then maybe thinking we should include Vito on that and he's not here. But
I think if there's three of us, it's a full house.
Yeah.
Any irregular pod, special. This is a full house.
Full house of attendees as opposed to who those attendees are.
Let's be honest, this is a paid podcast and very often there's two of us. So three is more than a full house. Three is more. We need to find extra space for an extra bed in here. But Kev, I've got to compliment your choice of attire today because that is a fantastic shirt. You're fresh back from, I don't want to say Buenos Aires because I think it's more than just Buenos Aires, isn't it?
No, it was just Buenos Aires.
How did you manage to go to 150 football matches in 3 days in one city?
Because I've got about 14 teams in just the top flight alone, and I sort of managed to catch a two second division games as well. So yeah, it was good. It was a good trip. But yes,
that is mad, isn't it, for a country that isn't small. Like, that's not uncommon for a really small country that nearly all the teams are in one city, in the capital. But Argentina's big.
Yeah, Buenos Aires.
Well, London has a lot of teams.
Yeah, it's quite similar to London, I suppose, because it was taking sort of 30 minutes to get you from central Buenos Aires down to where Racing Club and Independiente play in Avalande. And you can go another hour on the bus and you're still in the sort of wider BA area. So it is quite vast,
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Like, I live in Parma and I'm from a small town in Ireland, so when I think about cities being that big, it's mad. Like, the idea of London is even mad to me.
London's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You look on a map and think, oh, cool, I'll just walk to that.
It's
3 hours away. 3 hours
away. The European mentality, isn't it? Which has become a bit of a memeable thing on TikTok about Europeans wanting to walk places and Americans being confused by it. But we're not here to talk about that, are we? We're here to talk about what's been happening in the world of Italian football. So we've got to talk about transfers, really, don't we? There's been some new Serie A rules introduced, which we'll probably touch on. But I think since we last got together and had a nice big chat, a lot's happened. Sandro Tonali's left Milan to join Newcastle. Brinzi, you're the transfer man, so feel free to add things here, but the ones that come to mind immediately are Tonali, Brozovic and Milinkovic-Savic. Now, the latter two are a bit more upsetting because they've gone to Saudi Arabia, but then you could probably say that Tonali has also gone to Saudi Arabia, joining Newcastle. So we're seeing a new threat to Italian football clubs this summer.
Yeah, I mean, we started the summer sort of with the Tonali thing, thinking, all right, okay, everyone's going to the Premier League, which we'd kind of expect possibly to happen anyway. At the same time, obviously not as big a player, but Vicario was on his way to Spurs at the same time. And it was like, okay, everyone's going to start getting picked off. And you look at Barella, Brozovic, other players. Teo Hernandez was linked a lot. DiMarco was linked. There's loads of players linked with the Premier League. And that does seem to have slowed down a bit after Tonali. But then, like you say, the Saudi Pro League has been working its way around different leagues in Europe. And it appears to have honed in on Italy over the last week and a half. The Brozovic one, if there was ever a player in Europe that I thought might make that move, that basically just feels it would happen. Milinkovic-Savic is more of a shame in the sense that he's 28. You know, he's been around ages, so he can almost be tricked into thinking he's older, but he's 28. He's undoubtedly brilliant. He's been basically set up to make a big move to somewhere bigger than Lazio for ages. And really, that's probably never going to happen now. 'Cause
does it Does it feel to you, Kev, that Milinkovic-Savic is going to retire and everyone's going to forget about him immediately? Because with no disrespect to Lazio fans, they're the biggest club he'll have played for. And that shouldn't be the case. Like Ewan was saying, it's felt for a long time like he was always getting ready for that next move. And I always thought he had two bigger clubs in him. If not two bigger moves, maybe from Lazio to a Bayern or a Real Madrid and then to another club of that kind of level. But now he's kind of just decided that he's had his lot, hasn't he? In elite top level European football that the world cares about.
Yeah, I think so. There is an element here that we don't really know how some of these players that are going there at almost the peak of their careers are going to react to it, you know, because you can change your mind. You know, you can change your mind in life. Mm. And they've got the, you know, they are the ones that are holding all the cards with regards to their talent. So I wonder how many might in sort of 12 to 18 months' time actually go, well, you know, I've done what I did. If it then becomes easy for them to get away from sort of financially superior clubs, because I think there's part of this which has kind of gotten the Premier League out of jail, because revenues are still massive in the Premier League, but clubs were having to resort to Bitcoin and betting sponsors, which are going to be banned from next season on the front of Premier League shirts. And a lot of them were holding a lot of players they couldn't get rid of. And it felt like for Serie A and sort of other European leagues, that was going to provide an opportunity to, you know, maybe level the transfers off a little bit. And then the Saudis kind of have ramped it up again. They've kind of gotten the Premier League out of their sort of financial mess. If you look at the likes of Chelsea, who had stockpiled players, whereas there was a real opportunity for Serie A and other teams to sort of come and take some of those players at a reasonable cost to them, rather than being held over a barrel by Premier League clubs because of the finances that they can offer. And Saudi seems to have blown that out of the water, but it's whether the competitiveness of that league is going to keep the likes of Milinkovic-Savic interested.
I did see someone, I can't remember their name now, but someone made quite a funny video, which wouldn't fully chime with us because of where our focus is. But what he's basically saying, it was a picture of Milinkovic-Savic in with his, you know, the graphic of him signing. He was basically saying, like, are we sure this guy definitely exists? Because I think for people who don't closely follow Italian football, what he's basically saying is, like, you know, you hear about him and you hear transfer links and you hear he's very good, but you know you never really see him play. And then he was there with Serbia at the World Cup, but I didn't really see him do anything. And then I kind of half get what he means, but obviously we see him play. But then he used the example of Hulk, and he was like, you know, he scored goals for Porto, didn't he? And there was that clip from the crowd where people were being racist, and then he scored. But apart from that, did he definitely exist?
Because
he does feel like one of those elusive footballers that has this reputation. But also, a lot of people have never seen him do anything.
Yeah, because in that example...
Benfica striker too.
Hulk went to Zenit, didn't he? And that was when the Russian clubs had a load of money. Yeah. And it feels similar like that, because that didn't stick around for long. And it wasn't the Ukraine war that stopped that. It was just players got a little tired of playing in a league where there's not as much media focus, and maybe it will affect... Well, if you're playing for Serbia, it's not going to affect your international hopes, but you know, some of the reported sort of Brazilians and maybe English players that have been talked about going to Saudi Arabia, they've got they've both got continental championships this summer. Oh, sorry, next summer. I keep forgetting we're in the summer.
For the first time since this all started, yesterday evening, I saw a Saudi club's kit being worn by a child with a name on the back, and that made me just realise that they're here to stay. Right, okay. Is that the yellow and blue one?
That's the Ronaldo one, surely.
That's who I see. Yeah, exactly, that's what I see.
Looks like a Sunday League. Like,
even in Liverpool,
it's rotten.
I see the old kid knocking about with that in Liverpool. It is
mad.
It is easy for us to forget that there are a lot of people who view football in a very different way.
Yes, I was thinking this, but are they in FIFA?
Yes, because Al Nassr just got a transfer ban, funnily enough. It should... This is weird, right?
I thought Connor was on about the game.
I was talking about the game.
Rather than FIFA.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant, are they like under FIFA's jurisdiction?
No. Kev.
Anyway, I FIFA has given them a transfer ban.
I suddenly thought Ewan was going to tell us he was a gamer.
But, yeah, I've been playing as the Mon FIFA.
As he started to answer that question, I was about to say to Kev, Kev, this is why we have him on, because he's in touch with what the kids are in touch with. And then he starts talking about that.
Showed the opposite.
But they must be in the video game FIFA, which has changed their name, I think, to EAFC, isn't it? But yeah, they must be in that, otherwise the kids wouldn't care.
I mean, they've missed a trick if they've not put them in it.
Yeah. They've signed the current Ballon d'Or. Like, Benzema's going out there. It's mad.
Yeah.
But there is a weirdness to it, because Benzema's Muslim, obviously, and I can completely understand any Muslim footballer going out there for lifestyle reasons, because if you're Muslim and you're living in a non-Muslim country, it must be quite an impactful thing on your day-to-day life, right? So I can completely get that. But the Milinkovic-Savic deal, and like I expected the Brozovic one to an extent, it's those ones that, and the possibility of like Jordan Henderson going out there just makes me a bit upset.
Henderson one's sad. Sorry, Kev, you go.
No, you know, we've obviously been a Liverpool season ticket holder. We've had a lot of discussion around Henderson, and sadly, some of my friends take the view of, oh, you know, he's had a good career and he deserves to quadruple his wages, and you do the same. And you know, I'm lucky in one respect that, you know, I was offered a position at a Saudi university probably nearly 10 years ago now, and we did have to weigh up, because the money was probably at minimum doubling my salary, and we would have been given a property on a complex with everything paid for, no rent, no, you know, everything else. But I had to struggle with, you know, how they sort of they operate, and also the states. My wife would have been forced to wear, you know, what would have been traditional dress for them, but not for her, all of the time, and she would have been unable to work, which is, you know, quite something you're putting on your partner. Now, some of these footballers won't have that impact in their families, because they probably live quite isolated lives anyway. But you know, it's not, in my view, it isn't acceptable just to have that throwaway response to this, that, oh, you know, there's a short career and they can try and go and maximise their salary. Because every walk of life, you know, and it's also the whole, oh, you do the same if you decide to sort of question what these people are doing. And yeah, so it's a hard one, I think, to take when you see people that have been pro, you know, LGBT rights and things. But and they do, you know, it's an interesting one how plenty of these transfer moves are going to play out now.
That's the kicker for Henderson, isn't it? He's fully aligned himself with that movement.
And he's been brilliant with it as well.
Yeah, very, very eloquent, very active. You know, that quote in the programme notes that he wrote is the one that's kind of been doing the rounds, but he's done a lot more than that. It's not just, he wrote one thing in a programme once kind of thing.
See, Connor will know better than us, but it feels like there isn't that level of discussion while you're in Italy about these players making these moves, you know, about their sort of their beliefs.
I kind of draw parallels with it and the whole, do you remember when the Super League was announced?
Mm.
And most of the discourse was happening in the UK. Most of the, is revolt the right word? But a lot of the backlash and the resistance to it came from English clubs. And everybody else just kind of spoke about what was happening there. I've not really had conversations with people in Italy other than, yeah, he's going to earn a lot of money. Do you know, that's just what I've personally been having chats about. So I don't know, I'm sure some people are having these conversations, but not at the same level that they're being had in England. But on LGBTQ plus rights, we've got Serie A's first openly gay footballer, Jakub Janko, has returned to Italian football, which I'm sure everybody has seen what Claudio Ranieri has said on the matter. Kev, I think you actually put it together on the site for us. So I'm both very, very pleased and excited for the fact that we have an openly gay player playing in what is now officially the second highest ranked league in Europe, right? Serie A. But I am also... Well, everyone else is rubbish. I am also a bit concerned, because as Claudio Ranieri said, Kev, you are going to get idiots who shout things.
Yeah, and interestingly, maybe from the club that he's running, because
quite.
It was also put in the article, they are a club that's fan base has been in trouble over the years for sort of racially aggravated chants, I suppose, what they've thrown from the side of the pitch. It is interesting.
Being racially abusive.
Yeah, and it is interesting that it is Cagliari. I can't say I've kept up with his career, but I remember him being, you know, a bit younger and being at Sampdoria, and you know, 27. You know, I remember him being a good footballer. You know,
yeah,
he's a Czech international, so it's a good signing for Cagliari, and hopefully it kind of isn't overshadowed by some of this. And he you know, Ranieri's promised that he's going to have no problems at Cagliari. Hopefully that does go smoothly for him. But
yeah, well, I think he's very much signed for Ranieri, right? Because they worked together at, wasn't it Samp?
It was at Samp, yeah.
And they have a good relationship, so I hope.
I wonder if there's something, obviously, for Ranieri to come out and sort of, I suppose he's publicly backed him, I guess, isn't he? I think him drawing attention to it could be quite important, because now, like, the more this is talked, because I'd actually forgotten the Yangtze thing, and I hadn't clocked that he'd gone to Cagliari. But by drawing this much attention to it, when the season starts, people will be looking for it. As in, they'll be looking to see if the fans do shout anything horrible or whatever. And while this isn't necessarily the way you'd want people to not shout those things, it might stop a lot of people from shouting those things, because they know they're going to be really under the radar with it.
Can I just interject and remind you about the video I sent you when I was at the relegation playoff?
Yeah, but I mean, so this is a different slant of abuse, still just abuse. Mm. But it's, you know, that there are a huge amount of people in Italian football who are just desensitised for the idea of racist abuse.
Yes, and I would say as well that within Italian society, people in everyday conversations, there are still a lot more questionable things said around the matter of homophobia, in the same way that a lot of things that I would consider to be odd are said about race and ethnicity in everyday conversation. So things are going to be said, and people will defend the things that have been said. It's going to happen. I hope it doesn't. I hope that if anything, will allow the conversation to move on in a different direction.
Do you think it's going to go, like, really the other way? Either the fans are going to put a banner up trying to be too supportive and really sort of really mix up the message they're trying to get across, or there'll be a newspaper publication trying to be too smart for their own good, like a play on words, and then completely sort of get that wrong. That's what I'm sort of expecting to happen at some point in the next sort of 12 months.
Like a big banner. So
something that can be like taken completely out of context and was possibly, you know, good intent. You know, there was good intentions behind it at the start, because, you know, I have that.
Show something about yourself.
Yeah, I have that with some of the EDI work that I have to do at work, and a lot of the stuff people do are quite good. You know, they're based in good intentions, and you realise they've been using like profile photos on the web to try and work out somebody's ethnicity or religion or something, and it's like, oh no, stop doing that, please. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that might happen, but. Yeah, obviously, Ranieri, I think, was asked because of the Minister for Sport and Youth had mentioned that. I think that my translation of it was that he didn't quite agree with almost the need to come out and tell people what your sexuality is, and felt it was unnecessary. And I know they wrote back on those, and Ranieri said he knew the Minister of Sport and Youth and said actually he didn't mean that, so.
But this is the thing, right? This is where conversations need to be had, and for those conversations to not be fights, because there are people who are of the opinion that, well, I don't really know why we have to announce sexualities. And if everybody in the world thought that way, that would be great, because the people who think that are coming from positions that are correct, positions that are positive. But the unfortunate thing is, not everybody is of that position, and a lot of people have discriminatory thoughts and feelings and often actions towards people from the LGBTQ+ community, right? So his comments were kind of being said that they're homophobic, but I think they were just misguided from a place of not having been educated on it. So I don't think that's the kind of thing that should be just slapped down. That's the kind of person that should prompt a serious conversation.
I think it's all well and good the people who sort of go around saying, oh, I don't see why it has to be mentioned, I don't see why it has to be talked about, whatever. But those are also often people who form that opinion while never, ever knowingly spending time with anyone who isn't straight.
Yeah.
And then when someone who is gay kisses their partner in front of them in public, they'll then get weird about that because they've deflected it for forever, basically, and never ever confronted the existence of something that makes them very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's the type of person that, and I'm citing a specific example here, but the type of person that if two male friends are in a photo together where they're looking like very affectionate towards each other, they'd leave a comment being like, oh, we need to have a conversation, pal. Do you know, it's that kind of attitude towards the fact that homosexuality can exist. Possibly, yeah. But I do hope that it sparks conversations and not just fights. Because, like, if you start a fight with someone, the person that you're fighting with isn't going to be open to what you're saying. They're just going to double down. But if you have a conversation with them, I think people are more likely to listen. And let's be honest, there is only one right side of this argument, and it's that people who are not straight should have the same amount of luxuries and rights as people who are straight. But welcome back to Serie A, Jakub Jankto. I'm happy he's back, and I do hope for a good time for him, but we'll see how it goes. Should we talk about kits, guys? Burnsy, actually, before we do talk about kits, you've been on top of the newsletter in terms of transfer roundups every week. So let us know what else has been happening.
Inter, I think, shaping up fairly well because they got Marcus Thuram in for free.
Very excited about Marcus Thuram.
A lot of better clubs than Inter were quite serious about him. Who else did they get? It's going to all escape my mind now. They signed a defender who I hadn't heard of. He's 22 and supposedly
the German fella.
I'm just quickly scrabbling to find our article.
Jan Bisek.
Yes, Jan Bisek. Of course, Fratesi they've added as well, which I wouldn't say is a like for like with Brozovic going, but it's another midfield option who we all know is a good player. Seemingly, really wanted to make that move as well, which is often quite a big factor in whether moves are successful or not. I think obviously they need to sort the striker situation out. They're still trying to get Lukaku, and they're gonna lose Onana, and Handanovic is gone, so they need two goalkeepers.
See, that's problematic. You can talk about how they're shaping up as much as you want, but they don't have a goalkeeper.
Well, so apparently they seem to be getting this Anatoly Trubin from Shakhtar, who's, again, I've not watched him, meant to be good. And Jan Sommer apparently could be going, which doesn't seem like a bad idea for a sort of 2-3 years while Trubin is number two. Because I think Trubin's meant to be quite young. if they sort out the strikers, they might be okay.
Yeah, I think the thing with Sommer was he replaced Neuer after he broke his leg because he was in the last year of his contract at Mönchengladbach. And it was clearly for a goalkeeper that could, you know, pass out from the back and was comfortable with his feet. And that's exactly what Inter have had with Onana. So they almost need to replace that because, you know, we all saw the flaws in Handanovic's game at time to time. And certainly Radu, who let a ball roll under his feet for them to lose the title 2 years before. So I think if they were to get Sommer in, you know, you add that to Fratesi and Thuram and their squad's looking pretty decent in comparison to what else is around them.
Milan very much were, obviously, we were kind of saying before how they were pondering a bit because the whole Maldini-Mazzara thing happened, which was, you know, disruptive. The Tonali sale seemed to kick them up the arse, to be honest. It gave them the money to actually make some moves. They just signed Pulisic, which is good, I think. They really need a better right winger.
Public service announcement. He's changed the way he wants his name said again.
Didn't know he changed it last time.
What did I just say? Pulisic?
It's Pulisic. In the same way that it's Pashalic. But
oh yeah, he's got Croatian heritage.
Because everybody knew that it should have been an H, but then he decided one time that it was Pulisic, and everyone's like, "That's not your name."
Yeah, all the Americans say Pulisic, don't they?
Yeah, but now I think he's. But to be fair, he's educated himself and he knows how to pronounce his name, so he once said, "Right, Pulisic."
Okay, Pulisic has joined. Loftus-Cheek, which is quite groovy.
I'm excited about that, and also a handsome man.
He's a silky footballer.
Yeah,
web fit.
You know, he's never. That's the thing. He's never had long stretches in almost any team, but he could be quite important there. Luca Romero, that Lazio kid, his contract ran out, which surprised me. He's gone there. Juve signed Timothy Weah, and that's about it so far.
That passed me by, actually. I saw that this morning.
Yeah, you got Weah and Turan back, which is quite cool.
You know, the one that,
albeit for wrong clubs.
The one with Juve was Di Maria going to Benfica, because it feels like a year ago we were talking about him being, you know, the best signing of Serie A summer.
It's a lovely move, that, though. I'm very pleased that he's done that. Of all the places he could go, I think.
To Benfica. At 35, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's very cool. Roma obviously did a lot. They got Ndicka and Hussein Awar very early. They've now got a guy from Leeds who, based on, if you want to read Sahil's little write-up of that, he didn't have a good time at Leeds. That's partly why I asked Sahil to write that, because I thought he'll have detail that I won't be able to access, and he did.
Have they signed two people from Leeds this summer?
Well, yeah, so...
They're staying, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose technically in the history books it will go down as just another move to Roma, because he did go back officially. The loan ended. And then they've just sorted another one, basically, rather than... I don't think they extended the existing one, they just did another.
Okay.
What other big clubs are there?
Napoli? Well, there's one that won the league last year. I don't know if you noticed.
Well, Napoli are quiet, though. I mean, I don't think Kim has officially gone yet, is he? He is going.
Well, his clause expires today, doesn't it?
De Laurentiis is clinging on.
Token.
Yeah.
It got the token message from that man on Twitter on July 8th.
Those three words.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's not officially gone, but assume that he is.
Okay.
But I've not really actually seen anything else that Napoli have been doing, to be honest. They seem quiet.
Napoli are another team that are at risk of Saudi Arabia, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, very much so. The big thing for them, though, is that there's very little noise about Osimhen. So here's what they've done. So Raspadori and Simeone have joined permanently just at the end of those loans, and that's it. So they've not strengthened. They should be losing Kim, but it seems like Osimhen may have been priced out, because De Laurentiis said 150 million. Whether United or Bayern or Real Madrid later in the window does just whack something similar on the table. Remains to be seen, but it's very quiet at the moment. Which
you and I have a question. Is there a place where you could keep across every transfer made by Juventus, Inter, AC Milan, Roma and Napoli?
The Guardian website. Total-italianfootball.com. We've got, if you type every club transfer in our website, you will find it, and we are updating them as readily as we can.
Speaking of every things,
yes. Well put.
We also have an article, don't we, which is every Serie A shirt for 23-24. So I will point you guys in that direction now. And so the kits that have been released so far, not everybody has. Milan's home is out, Atalanta home and away, Cagliari home, Fiorentina home and away, Inter home, Juve home and away, Lazio have released one, Napoli home and away, Roma home, Sassuolo away, no home, oddly. Torino the same, away but no home. And Udinese have released the worst fucking kit I've ever seen in my life.
You must have had your eyes closed when you went past Fiorentina's.
Oh, why? Which Fiorentina kit?
Leave off. They're nice.
Both of them are horrific.
Their away one is gorgeous.
You just don't like flowers.
I'm not saying
I'm kind of with you on the home one. I think it's just a bit meh. Mm. But yeah, the away one's really stunning. Like.
Udinese's actually is
the Udinese one looks like a fake Parma shirt I once got about 5 years ago from one of those. You remember when everyone was buying football shirts from a Chinese website? And every now and then you'd get one that was like spot on, but sometimes you get a real rotter.
I bought about 10 from that website and they're all belted.
What's going on with the kit? What's
DHgate, that was it.
What's going on with the crest though, that Udinese shirt? It's like a zebra's head now. That can't be like an official change.
Everything about it is shocking.
I saw a comment from an Italian person that I really enjoyed when they released it, which is, we're called the Zebrette, the little zebras, but we look more like skunks.
Yeah.
I tell you what I will give them, the trim on the arms and the collar, that little sort of sage green and then black. I like that. The rest of it.
It's just a big white body with a big fat black stripe going down the middle.
With sponsors placed on it by somebody who can't see.
I'll agree with you on the trim. It looks pleasant, but the kit is horrific.
Down with them.
The best kit is Juventus away, isn't it? Good God.
Let me quickly.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of the colour scheme.
I saw it in person the other day as well. I think I was actually on the phone to you, Ewan, while I saw it. And Kev, it's even nicer in the flesh.
I'd like it without the Jeep.
The Jeep is big.
They've got the lightning strikes through the Jeep again, which a lot of people are pointing out is odd.
Yeah,
I like it. I'm not mental about it.
I just don't understand why.
What?
I mean, it's never easy to explain why you do or don't like a kit necessarily. Sometimes it's just a root feeling for whatever
reason. I find it very hard to imagine that kit being topped, though. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Where do you two stand on the Napoli ones? Because I've seen them get a lot of stick.
Kev doesn't like them.
I don't like the green. I don't like the green. I don't like that.
Sorry.
I don't like the shade of blue. Maybe because I think it's green. But
you think that's green?
We should say to our listeners, Kev is actually colourblind.
I think it's because I was looking at like a pitch behind one of the Juve pitches of the female side, the women's team.
I mean, I suppose it's slightly nearer green than the previous blue. It's not green.
If you look at the sky behind the people in the image that we're clearly all looking at, you know, I would prefer it to be a closer sky blue.
That's what's good. Sorry, just reminding myself. The backgroundy bit on the away one.
I've only just spotted that, actually.
I like things
like Vesuvius, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pleasant.
I do like it. I think it's a good kit. I get what you mean about the shade of blue.
For a sponsor, given it's like, you know, a port town, and they're a cruise company, aren't they? I think as far as sponsors on shirts go, and even that's quite a big one, I think it looks all right, actually.
And the fact that it's very cleanly done. So on the away kit, which is white with, I guess, are they black or are they very dark navy blue touches?
Navy, I think, yeah.
The MSC is perfectly aligned with those. And then on the home shirt, it's perfectly white, which is a nice touch. It doesn't dominate the kit at all. It just complements it quite well.
So if you compare it to the Lazio one, that's more the colour I would like it to be. Lazio one's equally clean, but I think possibly topped by Napoli because it's got the tricolour on the sleeves.
Inter's new kit, I didn't realise. It's just the same kit, isn't it?
Yeah, just with black arms instead of blue.
And a yellow badge, sort of yellow detailing.
Oh, yes, okay.
I feel like Inter's home shirt is rarely groundbreaking, is it? I think when you've got,
there was the snake skin one, which was good.
Yeah, didn't they go the other direction with the stripes as well one year?
Didn't they? Do you remember they made the kit that had every kit from the last 10 years in it?
Oh yeah, that was a Nike thing, wasn't it? They all did that. I think Inter only wore that once, didn't they? They were abomination.
They've had some stinkers. There was the all black with the blue pinstripes as well. That was horrific. They've had some stinkers.
I can't picture anybody else other than Nagatomo in that black with the pinstripes.
I know what you mean. I've got him and Ranocchia.
Yeah.
Freddy Guarin wore that, I think.
Good God. They've had some players, haven't they? Seriously. The Cagliari kit's quite nice, but
yeah,
I have a thing with those. There's so many of those half red, half dark blue shirts in Italy, and I've never really been impressed by one. I'll see them and think, oh yeah, it's all right, but I'll never fully be sold by it.
I think as a colour scheme, it always looks a bit royalty free, if that makes sense. It looks a bit, I don't know, it just feels like red and blue. Well done. But I think it goes together very well.
Sassuolo away is good.
Yeah, they often have decent ones, don't they?
That is fair. I think that'll do.
I was about to say, they wear it a lot. They wear it almost every single time they play away. Regardless of kit clash, they are always in white. There you go.
All right, Grandas. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we will be back very, very soon. Burnsy and I will be back very, very soon because the Women's World Cup is starting on the 20th and Ireland are having a bit of a crisis, but I think it's okay because they got involved in...
Rock.
Well, they were mugged on the pitch.
They got pickpocketed.
That seems unreal. Just for anyone not aware, Ireland and Colombia played a behind-closed-doors friendly 6 days out from the Women's World Cup kicking off. And the game was cancelled after 20 minutes by the Ireland coach because it was getting too violent. And one of Ireland's players ended up in hospital. Ireland have two players who are quite clearly better than everybody else. And it was one of those, Denise O'Sullivan. She's okay. There has been no fracture or anything, but I don't know what her fitness will be for the first game of the season or for the first game of the World Cup, which is against Australia.
Ireland aren't what you'd say a precious team. You know,
they're hard. They fight. That was it. Because I got a press release from the FAI and I saw it was cancelled for being overly physical, but it didn't say who cancelled it or why. So I thought like they were all just at it because that is two hard teams. But then no, apparently it was just Colombia were trying to end lives. So, but there's a curious bit where the Irish press were allowed to go to the match but not report on it. But then when they got to the gate, they were told you're not coming in. So people were like, what's happening in here? It just makes it sound so sinister. And Brisbane, I think. It was in Australia.
Was that just by the Colombian players stopping the press coming in? Two of them stood on the door.
We don't think you should see what we're about to do.
But that makes it sound so much more like pre-planned, doesn't it? We don't want you to see what we're going to do.
It's not anyway. As if they're a favourite that somebody wants to kick out of the World Cup. So they've sort of paid this Colombian group, side to sort of, you know, kneecap them.
It's incredible. But we will, of course, be covering the Women's World Cup and Burnsy and I will be back with a preview podcast. But if you do head over to Total Italian Football, we have got all of the information you could possibly need about everything about Italy and this World Cup. We've got a complete guide article, which is, I believe, exactly 2,000 words on Italy. Like their best players, who might be a surprise player. The squad numbers are in there. The group is in there. How to watch the games is in there. Everything. Their last performance at a World Cup. Their best ever performance. It's all there. So do head over and read that. But then there are countless other articles on it as well. Italy are in a group with Argentina, South Africa and Sweden. And it's going to be very difficult to get out of that group. But Italy kick off on the 24th. We will be back in a couple of days with our overall preview. And then we'll be doing pods around each Italy game as well. So, nice. That'll do it. Any final words, Ewan?
No.
Kevin?
No.
All right. Well, then we can leave it there. Goodbye, everybody. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye. Campionato di calcio Italia.